need a national guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the side, going down, audio shop talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com on this Thanksgiving week, year 2018. Put that turkey down, turn your stereo up, or whatever device you are using to listen to this, turn it up. I can't hear ya. It's going down right here on the Fix Sports Podcast, Season 3, Episode 16. Holla at a player when you see me in the street, say, ah! And yes, that was me in the back seat with your grandmother last night. That was me. Hey, man, it feel good to be back on this freaking fantastic Faithful Friday where we get it in for the fricassees. I don't know what that means. I just said it because it started with an F. But it's Friday and it's getting down. Everybody an it yesterday. You got your it on yesterday. You got your good leftovers with them seasonings. Working up in them. Know what I'm talking about? So go ahead, grab your little turkey sandwich and sit on down and listen to the podcast while I go ahead and get it to you like this. But before I get on into it, remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, the nonprofit organization, as well as in-person lectures, speaking engagements, keynote speaking engagements, educational classes, whatever you need. We got stuff for you, whether it's face-to-face or digital. Remember, it can be on your smartphone. The information can be brought to your smartphone, to your tablet, to your smart boards, to your computers, all those. And don't forget about the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the African History book series. You know, all right, out now, there's On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 1, North America. Then there's On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2, Central America. And coming February 16th is the official launch date of On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3 South America. So make sure you visit www.ontheshoulders1.com. That's the number one, ontheshoulders1.com, to learn more about it. And if you want to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, visit www.ontheshoulders.org. Hey, and remember, On the Shoulders of Giants, both On the Shoulders of Giants and the Fix are on Patreon. So if you want to be able to support one or both platforms, preferably both platforms, make sure you go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com for On the Shoulders of Giants. It's patreon.com/OTSOG. And for the Fix, it's patreon.com/TheFix. And also, don't forget about Lessons from the Screen. My man, Patrick Irvin, as his Lessons from the Screen, Lessons from the Screen. So LFTS, Lessons from the Screen. So patreon.com/LFTS. And then, you know, PAX Inc., the overall sponsor of the Freedom Train Network, is on Patreon as well. PAX, P-A-C-T-S. So patreon.com/PAX. So go ahead and get there. You could donate as little as a dollar, and bam, you ain't that life's fun. So what do we talk about today? What do we talk about today on the Fit for Podcast? All right, so our HBCU spotlight is going at Morgan State's DJ Golak for getting national and conference awards. Kevin Durant and the Draymond Green saga still going on. And latest thing that happened is Kevin Durant got fined $25,000 for going off on the fan, and they're talking about maybe trading Draymond. So we're going to get into that. I found out that Manny Pacquiao and Adrian Broner is scheduled to fight on January 19th. Why? I don't know. But we're going to talk about it. For all you baseball fans out there, Adrian Beltre is retiring from the MLB. And we're going to talk about that. J.R. Smith is on the trading block from the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm sure he's excited. Vince Carter reaches 25,000 points in his NBA career, in his long-standing NBA career. Then we're going to give you an update on college football playoffs. Also give you an update on NCAA basketball, you know, college basketball started. So give you an update on what's happening in college basketball. Give you an update on the latest happenings in the football, NFL football, because you know it's how they talk about the NFL. And then the further NFL news, Tony Gonzalez and Ed Reed headlined the 25 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2019. Of course, we know both of them going in. And now, Friday rant is aimed at the former president of Michigan State University, Lou Anna K. Simon. He's been charged in the Larry Nassar case for lying and helping cover up bullshit with Larry Nassar. So we're going to go off on her hoe ass when we get to our Friday rant. So our HBCU spotlight, our HBCU, DJ Golak from Morgan State. So let's read. As we've seen in the past, it's hard to see HBCU recognition on the national stage in terms of awards and honors on the FCS level. But for DJ Golak, his hard work has been recognized. The freshman quarterback from PG County, Maryland, was named Stats FCS Freshman of the Week for Week 12. He was also named MEAC Rookie of the Week. Golak did not begin the season as a starter for Morgan State. The Bears rode with DeAndre Harris until inconsistent play and injury took Harris out of the lineup. DJ stepped in during the Florida A&M contest and completed 15 to 22 passes when called on. His next game was against Bethune-Cookman, was an exposition of offense that MSU has not seen from the quarterback position as of late. He threw for 257 yards and 3 touchdowns in the loss. In the final game of the season, Golak put on the show. He went 17 for 23. 168 yards, threw 3 touchdowns in the process. He ran the ball 20 times for 156 rushing yards and a touchdown. The freshman's ability to smartly extend plays paid off for the Bears. He went over 1,000 yards of total offense in 4 games. God damn, he was bald. Before being redshirted in 2017, Golak came to Morgan State University as a dominant 4-year run at the Annapolis Area Christian High School. He completed his high school career with 6,425 passing yards and 52 career touchdowns. He had over 1,100 career rushing yards and 19 rushing touchdowns in his career. He was selected to the All-State second team in 2016 and even ranked high in the Nike Open and the Nike Opening Regional Camp as a junior. He was balling in high school. He balling that. DJ Golak. So he got the FCS Player of the Week as well as the MEAC Player of the Week. Oh, Freshman of the FCS, Freshman of the Week, and the MEAC Rookie of the Week. So DJ Golak closed out the season where he supposed to close it out on top, balling like he supposed to balling. So one time for DJ Golak. Go ahead and put y'all hands together for DJ Golak. DJ, that Golak, living in the Maryland, DJ, that Golak, na 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 na, rocking out with DJ, that Golak, living in the DJ, DJ, that Golak. So one time for DJ Golak and the Morgan State Bears for all that they do. Hey, you know, man. These HBCU spotlights are important, and I'm working on new segments and new things to incorporate more about what's going on in HBCU sports. And overall, the plan is to have a full-on HBCU sport podcast. So if you know anybody out there that like to talk about sports or like to talk about black college sports, man, tell them to holler at your boy. Email me at joe@freedomtrainradio.com. And tell them to holler at your boy. That's joe@freedomtrainradio.com if you're interested in doing HBCU sport podcast. Yeah, I put it out there like that. So let's move on. Like Maya. Kevin Durant. KD, man. You ain't representing for the nappy head brothers, right, dog? You acting real light skin, Kevin. Kevin Durant, you've been acting real light skin lately. So he got fined $25,000 for cursing at a Mavericks fan. I don't think players should get fined for cursing at fans the way fans be fucking with players. All right, bad news just keeps rolling in for the Golden State Warriors. As the Warriors go through their roughest stretch in years, Kevin Durant is feeling the effects of it too. That will be because the reigning finals MVP has been fined $25,000 by the NBA for cursing at Dallas Mavericks fans during the team's recent loss to the Mavericks on Sunday night, as Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports reported. And this is a tweet by Chris Haynes. Golden State forward Kevin Durant will be fined $25,000 for telling a heckling fan to watch the fucking game and shut the fuck up during Sunday's loss to Dallas, league sources tell Yahoo Sports. I don't think he should be fined for that. The fan do need to watch the fucking game and shut the fuck up sometimes, because they bitch asses be talking that fuck shit, knowing that they can't back that fuck shit up, and they be talking that fuck shit that they know they're in the safe fucking place. But if they knew that that shit wasn't going to keep them safe, they wouldn't be talking that fuck shit. I don't necessarily agree with this. They should be able to cut them fans' ass back out, because them fans be on some reckless shit. So they have a full video of him, you know, telling the fan to shut the fuck up. And I'm going to see if I can get it to play for me. Even though I know y'all not going to be able to hear it, but he's walking. Okay. Oh, because he walked up to the fan. So in the video, he walked up to the fan and told him to shut the fuck up and watch the fucking game. Shut up, bitch. He walked up to him and walked up on his ass. Right? And now some people say, well, why he ain't do that to Draymond? You know, that's a whole nother argument, right? In the past week alone, the Warriors have lost four of their past five games. Draymond Green has had a verbal altercation with Durant. Green got suspended, and you know, they're trying to take $100,000 out of his pocket. Right? Steph Curry hurt, so they're not playing good right now. Making matters even more complicated is that it's unclear if Durant and Green truly resolved their differences, considering Draymond never apologized for his comment toward Durant at the end of the loss versus the Clippers last Monday night. When all I'm going to say is Draymond Green called Kevin Durant a bitch, and Kevin Durant been acting like a bitch since Draymond called him a bitch. And that's pretty consistent across the board of everybody who's been witnessing and seeing what's been going on in Golden State, is that Draymond calls you something and now you're acting like you ain't representing for the nappy headed brothers, Kevin Durant. You ain't representing for the nappy head brothers, man. This has all resulted in the team struggling, head coach Steve Kerr says. Saying the team is in disharmony right now and major questions regarding whether or not Durant will return to the Warriors in 2019, as he is likely to enter the offseason as a free agent, right? It's a weird time to be a member of the Warriors, but it is definitely becoming an enjoyable period for the rest of the NBA to sit back and watch as Golden State loses its collective cool. So, a couple things in this, right? Like I said, Durant was called a bitch by Draymond. Durant ain't been acting warrior-like since being called a bitch. Draymond gets fined $100,000 for that. It don't seem like Draymond and Kevin Durant has really resolved their issues. Kevin Durant cusses out a fan. He gets fined $25,000. So the question is, who's going to stay and who's going to go? Because that's where it is right now. Who's going to stay, who's going to go? Would you trade Draymond or would you trade KD? All I'm gonna say is the Warriors was winning before KD got there. I don't know if I would trade Draymond. Kevin Durant hasn't showed ever at one point in the NBA that he could lead a team to a championship. I don't think Kevin Durant, as the de facto alpha though, can lead a team to a championship. I don't think he has that type of dog in him. I don't think Kevin Durant has the cojones to be able to take the criticism, to be able to understand that when you're in that top spot, when it goes right, it's your fault. And when it goes wrong, it's even more your fault. See, Kevin Durant, not a Capricorn like myself, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. We're built for stuff like that. We're built to be able to handle the criticism. We're natural born leaders of Capricorn. So shout out to all the Capricorns out there. We're natural born leaders of Capricorn, right? We understand that when the going gets tough, it's our fault. But we also understand we got to learn how to drop our nuts and make things happen. Because we are more than capable of leading teams to championships or accomplishing whatever goals, no matter how big they are, no matter how long it takes, we already know that we can lead our respective teams to the respective championships. That's all I'm going to say about that with Kevin Durant. He ain't no Capricorn. I don't know if I would, see, because I've been asking myself this question the last couple of days. Because the obvious choice would be you trade Draymond Green. But then I look at the Warriors before Kevin Durant got there. Draymond Green is a very intricate part and important part in what the Warriors do as winners. Now, it seems that Steph Curry may be the most important piece. At one point, I thought Draymond was, but it seemed like Steph Curry may be the most important piece. Because when Kevin Durant, since Kevin Durant got to Golden State, when it's just been him, like Curry's out and Durant is that dude, they're beatable. They're not as good as the team would be if Durant was out and Steph Curry was just leading the team. Statistics prove that. So I don't know if I would automatically trade Draymond in this. Now, don't get it twisted. Kevin Durant is definitely a better basketball player than Draymond. But Draymond may be more important to the team than Kevin Durant. Because let's just be real, Kevin Durant on this Warriors team is benefiting from playing on this team. He doesn't have to work as hard. He doesn't have to do as much. All he got to do is show up and score. He may not even be checking. Klay Thompson and Draymond, their responsibilities are to check the best offensive player before it is Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant could pick that player up in like the fourth quarter, late fourth quarter, like they would do with LeBron. And Kevin Durant would be checking him in the late third quarter, late fourth quarter, after Klay Thompson and Draymond have been on them the whole game trying to act like he's defensive player of the year. But Kevin Durant is definitely benefiting from being on this team. His personality, his skill sets, and all those things, it match well with this team. Then we're going to see, you know, the team. I want to see the team at full strength with Boogie Cousins, because I see a lot of people in the Twitterverse and other Rams saying that I don't believe it, but they're saying that when Boogie Cousins come back, they're going to trade Draymond, you know. But we're going to see, but we do know that Draymond called Durant a bitch. Durant ain't been acting the same. And, you know, the Warriors are on the four-game slide. Now, it's still early in the season. It ain't no time to panic. It ain't really that time to panic. But team chemistry and dynamics. So keep your eyes on them Lakers, though. But that's what's going on with Kevin Durant. Ever since Draymond called him a bitch, he ain't been acting the same. All right, let's talk some box. Manny Pacquiao, Adrian Broner. Why? That's my question. Why? Why is this fight? Because Adrian Broner's skill set should have him win this fight. But I don't think Adrian Broner's smart enough to win this fight. I think Pacquiao wins this fight just because he's smarter than Broner. But if Adrian Broner comes out there and fight like he's supposed to fight, have his mind in this fight, his head in it, and do what he's supposed to do, he should smoke Pacquiao. But let's read. Former 8th Division champion and Filipino icon Manny Pacquiao will end a 2-year hiatus from fighting in the United States when he defends his secondary WBA welterweight title on January 19th against Adrian Broner in Las Vegas. The long-rumored fight was made official on Monday at a kickoff press conference in New York by Showtime, which will broadcast the fight on pay-per-view from the MGM Grand Arena. The fight, which is presented by Al Haymon's premier boxing champion, doubled as the first for Pacquiao, who is 67. He's 60 wins, 7 losses, 2 draws, 39 KOs, after signing with PBC in October. Pacquiao, who turns 40 on December 17th, parted ways with longtime promoter Top Rank in July, which ended their relationship that day back to 2001. A senator by day in his native Philippines, Pacquiao and his eponymous MP Promotions signed a deal with PBC in hopes of landing a rematch against retired pound for pound King Floyd Mayweather. For what? Pay-per-view will mark the second for Showtime in just a 2-month period, and which includes the December 1st fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, which I'm gonna talk to y'all about that on Monday. I'm gonna go in on Fury and Wilder on Monday, on my Monday show. So stay tuned for that. The fight ends a 16-month gap between pay-per-views for Showtime, which dates back to Mayweather's victory over Conor McGregor in August 2017. Pacquiao and Broner will be co-promoted by MP Productions, Mayweather Productions, TGB Productions, in association with Broner's About Billions promotion. Okay. And Joseph Ward's Put the Tip In Promotions. There you go. Don't forget about that. Okay. If you don't put the tip in, you ain't in the game. I miss fighting in Las Vegas. It's been a second home to me, Pacquiao said. Return to the MGM Grand Garden Arena to defend my world title against Adrian Broner is an exciting way to stage my homecoming. Adrian is a tough opponent with an accomplished record, but if I have learned one thing while serving in the Philippine Congress and Senate, it is problem solving. You ain't learned that with Mayweather, but okay. Pacquiao enters the fight on a bit of a resurgence after he ended a 9-year streak without a knockout by finishing veteran Lucas Matisse in their July title bout in Malaysia. Income tax issues reportedly led Pacquiao to take his career outside the U.S. in recent years, with the Broner bout making his first return since he outpointed Jesse Vargas in 2016 welterweight title bout in Las Vegas. Although he ultimately showed Pacquiao respect during Monday's press conference, Broner, whose record is 33-1-3 with 24 knockouts, was his typical colorful self off the start of the series with a flashy, if not lewd, comment. Y'all got me fucked up. Hold up. I got to get my voice right. Y'all got me fucked up. If you think I'm going to lose to Manny Pacquiao, that's what he said. I'm going to beat his motherfucking ass. It's going to be a hell of a fight. I'm not coming to pick up a check. I know when I win this fight, there's more money to come. I'm going to beat his motherfucking ass. That's my Adrian Broner voice. I had to call my mama after I looked in the mirror this morning. I had to let her know she had a beautiful son. We finally made it to pay-per-view at 29. I'm the only African-American to do that. This fight means a lot to me. A win and a turn, and I turned legend overnight. I got the whole hood with me. Throw it up! I got the whole hood with me just like he has the whole Philippines with him. I don't even know how to spell that, but I have the whole hood with me. H-O-O-D! These are literally his words. gonna read it again. I had to call my mama as I looked in the mirror this morning. I had to let her know she had a beautiful son. We finally made it to the pay-per-view at 29. I'm the only African-American to do that. That means a lot to me. A win, and I turned legend overnight. I got the whole hood with me, just like he got the whole Philippine with him. I don't even know how to spell the Philippine, my nigga, but you know what? But you know what? I got the whole hood with me, and I know how to spell motherfucking hood. H-O-O-D. All right. The 29-year-old Broner, whose career has stalled at times due to constant legal troubles and a lack of dedication despite titles in four different weight divisions, later added that Pacquiao's three best skills are singing, promoting Hennessy, and planking. The later a reference to Pacquiao's violent one-punch knockout loss to Juan Manuel Marquez in the 2012 fourth meeting. Broner is fresh off an entertaining majority draw against Vargas in April, in which featured a much more focused version of the fighter who lost a lifeless and wide decision to Mikey Garcia 9 months earlier. The longtime Broner's comedic act on Monday took a more serious tone when he listened to Pacquiao speak about his goals of the second fight against Mayweather, which caused Broner to interrupt him. Fuck Floyd. No disrespect. But he ain't fighting Floyd. He fighting me. I'm about to beat your ass for that respect. Floyd, I already beat you. That's what he said. Pacquiao lost a unanimous decision to Floyd Mayweather during a long-awaited 2015 super fight that set a new pay-per-view record for a combined sports at a 4.6 million buys. Despite Pacquiao's age and Broner's inconsistency, the fight is expected to do well financially due to the personal brands of both the competitive nature and of the matchmaking, which pairs a faded legend against an underachieving star. So, I wouldn't pay for it. If somebody got a way for me to watch this fight without paying for it, I'd do it. But I wouldn't pay for it. But January 19th is going down. It's going down. So, all you baseball folk, Adrian Beltre announces his retirement 21 years. See by baseball? All y'all black folk keep trying to get y'all sons to play football. This man played baseball for 21 years. This man received $1 million a year. For at least $1 million a year for 21 years. Y'all want y'all sons to play football. All right. Adrian Beltre's baseball career began as a teenager, a skinny third baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who made his debut in the summer of Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. Two decades later, Beltre's major league career has ended, with the final stop coming in Cooperstown. Oh yeah, he going to the Hall of Fame. Beltre, who's 39, who's only 5 years older than me, announced his retirement Tuesday morning, concluding a 21-year career in which he amassed 477 home runs, 3,166 hits, establishing himself as the greatest third baseman of his era. He's the lone third baseman in Major League history with at least 3,000 hits and 400 home runs. In an announcement through the Texas Rangers, his team, for the final 8 years of his career, Beltre said the decision came after careful consideration and many sleepless nights. His retirement leaves Rangers teammate Bartolo Colon, who's 45, as the last remaining player who began his career in the 1990s. Bartolo been playing that long. So, I'm going to read y'all the statement from Adrian Beltre. Let me bring it all the way up. Let me bring the statement all the way up so I can read it to y'all from AB. After careful consideration and many sleepless nights, I have made the decision to retire from what I've been doing my whole life, which is playing baseball, the game I love. I have thought about it a lot, and although I appreciate all the opportunities and everything that baseball has given me, it's time to call it a career. I have enjoyed the privilege of playing professional baseball since I was 15 years old. I have been blessed to have played 21 seasons at the highest level in Major League Baseball. I want to thank God, my amazing wife, Sandra, for your unwavering and unconditional love, support, and understanding throughout my entire baseball career. My three awesome children, Cassie, AJ, and Camilla, for being the best baseball kids. My parents and my entire family for all your love and support. I also want to thank my agent, Scott Boris, Mike Fiore, and the entire Boris Corp for always believing in my talent. A huge thank you goes to the numerous teammates, managers, coaches, and staff members from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Dodgers, Seattle Mariners, Boston Red Sox, and especially the Texas Rangers. These past 8 seasons playing in the Rangers' uniform have been the best of my career and were made possible thanks to Rangers owners Ray Davis, Bob Simpson, and Neil Liebman, General Manager John Daniels, Nolan Ryan, and the late Don Welke. I also owe a huge part of my success in Texas to the major Rangers' fans. You guys are the best. I also have to acknowledge and thank Tommy Lasorda for believing in this young kid from the Dominican Republic when others thought I was too young to be called up to the big leagues. To all my fans in the Dominican Republic, to the United States and Latin America, my sincerest thank you for your continued support throughout my career. While I will forever cherish the memories of my time playing the greatest game on earth, I am excited to become a future husband and father, and I am ready to take on the next chapter in my life. Hey, man, y'all stand up. Y'all give a round of applause for Adrian Delce, man. Give a round of applause, man. What were you doing for the last 21 years? You hear me? Beltre left an impact on all four franchises which he played, producing the second greatest home run season in Dodgers history with 48 and 24 in 2004, capping a 7-season run there in which he hit 147 home runs. He struggled offensively during 5 seasons in Seattle, but emerged as a 2-time Gold Glove winner. He spent just 1 season in Boston, but it was a year that charted a new course in his career. Beltre hit an American League best 49 doubles, boosted his OPS to 9.19, made his first All-Star team, and hit the free agent market a third time entering his age 32 season. So, hey man, he opted for Texas and signed an $80 million deal. And neither him nor the club were the same. So for the next 6 seasons, he finished in the top 15 in MVP voting and the Rangers floors, coming one out away from that first World Series championship in his first season in 2011. They made the playoffs in 4 of the 6 seasons in Arlington, and the world got to know what a sublime and entertaining player he was. Whether he was engaging in an ongoing feud with sports shot Elvis Andrews, imposing his leadership on the clubhouse and making highlight real plays at third base, Beltre was as quietly charismatic as he was subtly dominant on the diamond. His numbers are Coopertown worthy by a long shot. Oh, he also ranks 14th all-time in total bases and 11th with 636 doubles, but modern metrics are also very kind. According to Sports Info Solutions, Beltre has nearly doubled the number of defensive runs saved that any other third baseman since the statistic was developed in 2003. He also ranks 10th all-time in defensive wins above replacement for any position. As baseball continues to grapple with honoring its past while ushering the game into an occasionally jarring modern era, consensus is elusive. Be it whether games are too long or short, whether a player is Hall of Fame worthy, or even what constitutes most valuable player, it's inevitable factions will take sides. So yeah, what fuck all that shit. Adrian Beltre, he balled out during his career. So one time for him. Wish him well in his retirement after 21 seasons, man. That's impressive, man. Since he was legit, was balling in the big leagues. Ballin' in the big league. All right. talk some basketball for a little bit. As J.R. Smith is on the trading blocks and on his way out of Cleveland. We straight from Cleveland. Clock that nigga, you bleed. And you don't want to mess with phones. It's that Bone Thugs. If you don't know, straight from Cleveland. Nigga, this ain't clap. J.R. Smith has reportedly left the Cleveland Cavaliers as both sides attempt to get a trade done. ESPN reported that the former NBA champion would have his trade request granted, after implying that the team was attempting to tank in order to get a high draft pick. Cavaliers released a statement announcing that they put Smith on a trader block. The organization wishes JR and his family well and appreciates and thanks him for his contributions to the community and to the team and his role in the 2016 NBA championship. The statement was read right by somebody on the Cavs. Smith has been at odds with the Cavs front office throughout the 2018-2019 season. General manager Kobe Altman had previously discussed the guard leaving the team, but he decided to stay. However, the solution now seems unrepairable, following Smith's comments to the Atlanta, in which he seemingly accused the Cavs of tanking. No, he didn't. Dun, dun, dun. I don't think the goal is to win. The goal is to go out there and try to get as many wins as you can, Smith told Atlanta. I think the goal is to develop and lose to get the lottery picks. I think that was always the plan, because they some bitches. You know what I'm saying? I'm JR. They some bitches, right? On Tuesday, Smith's teammates Kevin Love and Channing Frye, as well as former teammate Richard Jefferson, told ESPN to jump that it would be hard to envision the guard leaving after four consecutive trips to the NBA Finals. Well, guess what? It's tough to lose a guy like that when you have been in the trenches with him and you have been to war with him, Love said. You know what J.R. means to this team and this city. He was one of the fan favorites. He was a guy who played both sides of the ball. Frye said the worst thing in the NBA is to be in the middle. But Cleveland is making an effort to improve despite its recent slow start. I think for us, we have a lot of repair. We have a lot of repair, and we have a lot of young talent. You need to allow them to play, but under a good system and culture, Frye said. For us right now, our records do not reflect how hard these guys work and how much better I feel we've gotten. But we still have a long way to go. Smith was limited to just 6 minutes during Cleveland's loss to Detroit Pistons on Monday night. He had previously requested a trade and plans to work out privately until a deal is reached. The two sides haven't discussed a buyout agreement. Sources confirmed to ESPN. Smith is set to earn $14.7 million in the 2018-2019, as well as $3.8 million of his $15.6 salary next year, guaranteed. So, there it is. Further basketball news, my main man, Vincent K. Carter. I don't know if it's really K, but Vincent Carter is now over the 25,000 mark as far as points in his NBA career, which further enshrines his place in the Basketball Hall of Fame, which he is going. The Hawks wingman Vince Carter became the 22nd player in NBA career, in NBA history rather, to score 25,000 points, reaching the milestone Wednesday night against Atlanta in a 124-108 loss to the Toronto Raptors. It was a great moment for me, Carter said, who is 41 and playing in his 21st season. Being around this long, you just want to play and accomplish as many things as you can, but 25K is 25K. Against the Raptors team, for whom he played his first six NBA seasons, Carter crossed the 25,000-point threshold when he slammed home a pass from rookie Kevin Huerter. Quarter for an offensive rebound in the final second of his 1,423rd career NBA game. Everyone in the NBA were all tipping our hats to him because 25,000 is a lot of points, Toronto guard Kyle Lowry said. He's such a great guy, great individual, great teammate, great person. He's earned it, deserved it. I think everyone's really happy for him. He earned it tonight, and to get to it on a two-handed dunk like that is pretty cool. Hawks coach Larry Pierce, well aware that Carter was closing in on the milestone, snuffed Carter back into the game in the closing minutes of the blowout. I didn't want to do that, but I had to do it, Pierce said. We had to keep Vince out there to get that milestone. I feel a lot better for doing it. What a night for Vince. What a night for the NBA. To see a guy with 21 years in the league is a long time. 25,000 points is a lot of points. But teammates determined to help him reach the milestone, Carter found himself the focal point of the offense in the final minutes. Carter attempted a shot in six of the Hawks' final seven possessions, converting a three-pointer and a pair of free throws in addition to the last-second dunk. After the game, he quipped that it had been some time since he had been the primary option on offense. He finished with 14 points on 5 of 15 shooting. Carter characterized the moment as a weight lifted off my shoulders, but also expressed gratitude for the legacy that accomplishments such as for that accompanied such an accomplishment. It's kind of mixed emotions, he said. I still can't believe it to be a part of an elite group for thousands and thousands of players who have played in the NBA. As the crowd for the State Farm Arena roared, the emotional Carter gripped the ball after it passed through the rim and closed his eyes after the final buzzer. Carter was presented with the game ball, after which he walked to the center court and waved to the Atlanta crowd. I still love it. I still love playing, Carter said. I was willing to do whatever it took to stick around. All of the things I had to do to play a game, to be prepared, to get prepared for the offseason, I'm willing to do. I am asked constantly, what's the secret? What are you doing? Well, the secret is I'm willing to do whatever it takes. To honor the feat, the Hawks showed a video on the overhead screen in which Carter received congratulations from notable NBA players, including Hawks legend Dominique Wilkins, a fellow member of the 25,000 point club. This is one of those accomplishments that only 21 other guys have done, Carter said, so it's definitely a special moment. At the beginning of his career as a high-flying scorer who produced some of the most iconic dunks in league history, the greatest dunk of all time, Carter has reinvented himself as a mentor and stabilizing force in the locker room. He said after the game that his Hawks teammates, some of whom were more than two decades younger than him, raided his locker for shoes and other mementos. For the young talent we have an opportunity to see something that is like that, something like this, and put that in our memory banks and for a goal to reach for themselves, Carter said. That's what it's all about, giving the opportunity to witness something like that. And Vince Carter got 25,000 points. Man, y'all go ahead and put your hands together for 5th time. Yeah, Vinsanity, been rocking hymns, been rocking with Vince since North Carolina. All right, let's talk college football playoffs. Not college football scores, but college football playoffs. You know, I had the college football scores for you on Monday. So, start from the bottom to the top. 25 is Iowa State University at 6-4. Number 24 is Pitt, University of Pittsburgh at 7-4. Number 23 is Boise State University at 9-2. Number 22 is Texas A&M University at 7-4. Number 21 is Utah State University at 10-1. I'm sure they got something to say about that. Number 20 is Syracuse University at 8-3. Number 19 is Northwestern University at 7-4. Number 18 is Mississippi State University at 7-4. Number 17 is University of Utah at 8-3. Number 16 is the University of Washington at 8-3, but they play Washington State. Number 15 is Kentucky at 8-3. Number 14 is Texas at 8-3, and Texas is playing today, matter of fact. They're playing Kansas. I think they're playing right now, matter of fact. Number 13 is West Virginia at 8-2. Number 12 is Penn State at 8-3. Number 11 is University of Florida at 8-3. Number 10. Ohio State at 10-1. Number 9 is University of Central Florida at 10-0. And I'm sure Central Florida pulling for Washington, for the University of Washington to beat Washington State, who's number 8 at 10-1. LSU is 9-2 at number 7. I still think UCF should be like number 7, but hey. So the top 6, Oklahoma University is at 10, is at number 6 with 10-1 record. Number 5 is Georgia at 10-1. Number 4 is Michigan at 10-1. Number three is Notre Dame at 10-1. Notre Dame at 11-0. They're number three at 11-0. Clemson is number two at 11-0. And Alabama is number one at 11-0. Georgia controls their fate. Georgia win out, they get to go to the ship. So does everybody. It's the same for everybody, though. Win out and you go where you need to go. So quick update on college football playoff rankings, just in case you didn't know, but now you know. And knowing is half the battle, just like G.I. Joe told you. So, give you a little update on some scores in NCAA basketball. I've been watching a little bit. I got a chance to watch the Duke versus Gonzaga. Well, I watched the last two rounds of the Maui Invitational. Duke played, I forgot who Duke played in the semifinal, but then they played Gonzaga in the actual final game and lost to Gonzaga. Gonzaga got a young man who's half black, half African, half Japanese. And, you know, he'll ball. He's a good player. You know, he was going head up with Zion Williamson. So, all right, so let's start from Sunday and bring it on back down to this freaky Friday. So, Sunday, November 18th, we're at Wake Forest, who beat Valparaiso 69-63. Holy Cross beat Siena 57-45. Ball State tops Appalachian State 94-86. North Dakota State beats Towson 76-51. Georgetown beats South Florida 76-73. FIU beats Youngstown State 102-93. Texas Southern beats Evansville 63-85. UC Davis loses to Texas Arlington 59-68. CSUF, whoever that is. Oh, let's see. I got to see. Who is CSUF? Cal State Fullerton. Okay. Cal State Fullerton beat Monmouth 87-63. Cal State Fullerton. Cal State. Okay. Michigan, number nine, Michigan beat Providence 66-47. UMass beat Lowell. Sacred Heart loses to UMass Lowell 90-94. Wofford loses to Oklahoma 64-75. Bryant loses to Navy 79-83. Allen loses to UNCW 74-113. Florida Atlantic beats Incarnate Word 71-68. St. Francis BK beats Lafayette 84-72. NC Central beats Warren Wilson College 123-57. Ohio State beats South Carolina State 89-61. Delaware beats Wilmington, Delaware 70-40. Alabama beats Wichita State 90-86. Campbell beats Austin Peay 78-72. Troy beats Central Arkansas 82-77. Arkansas beats Indiana 73-72. Manhattan beats UNC Asheville 54-38. West Virginia beats St. Joseph's 97-90. Air Force beats South Dakota 65-62. Maryland beats Mount St. Mary's 92-77. Southern Utah beats Seattle 73-70. Kent State beats Alcorn State 79-48. Brown beats Army 86-66. Oklahoma State beats Charleston 70-58. Jacksonville tops Chattanooga 74-66. Idaho beat Bethesda 87-59. South Carolina beats GW, George Washington, 90-55. Sanford beats Cleveland State 73-60. UAB beats West Alabama 77-47. Missouri beats Oregon State 69-63. Fordham beats Columbia 70-69. Davidson beats Northeastern 70-59. Kentucky beats VMI 92-82. Central Michigan beats San Jose State 76-74. Michigan State they beat Tennessee Tech 101-33. Now they beat that. Miami of Ohio loses to Pepperdine 80-86. Northern Kentucky beats Coastal 89-83. UCF beats Western Kentucky 78-62. LMU, whoever that is, beat Ohio 65-56. LIU Brooklyn loses to San Francisco 84. Montana falls to Georgia Southern 77-80. Washington beats Santa Clara 82-68. Kansas State beats Penn 64-48. And Virginia Tech beats Purdue 89-83. So Monday the 19th, Clemson beat Akron 72-69. Auburn beat Xavier 88-79. Duke beat San Diego State 90-64. Florida State beats Kansas 93-61. North Carolina beats St. Francis PA 101-76. Kansas State beats Missouri 82-67. Nevada beats California Baptist 90-55. Arizona State beats Mississippi State 72-67. Presbyterian loses to UCLA 80-65. Gonzaga tops Illinois 84-78. So Tuesday the 20th, Clemson beats Georgia 64-49. Ohio State beats Sanford 68-50. Lipscomb beats TCU 73-64. Auburn loses to Duke 78-72. Gonzaga beats Arizona 91-74. Oregon beats Green Bay 83-72. Wednesday, Kentucky beats Winthrop 87-74. Wisconsin beats Stanford 62-46. Tennessee beats Louisville 92-81. Gonzaga tops Duke to win the Maui Invitational 89-87. Buffalo beats Dartmouth 110-71. Clemson loses to Creighton 87-82. St. Mary's loses to Mississippi State 61-57. Kansas loses to Marquette 77-68. Iowa defeats Alabama State 105-78. Virginia beats Middle Tennessee State 74-52. And Auburn beats Arizona 73-57. Yesterday, Thursday, Oklahoma loses to Wisconsin 78-58. Virginia beats Dayton 66-57. LSU beats Charleston 67-55. Nevada beats Tulsa 96-86. Texas beats North Carolina 92-89. Florida State beats University Alabama Birmingham UAB 81-63. And Michigan State beats UCLA 87-67. Notable game today, I would say, North Carolina versus UCLA at 4 o'clock. LSU, Florida State at 4:30. Texas at Michigan State at 6:30. Cincinnati, George Mason. Kentucky, and Notable game. So, yeah, but that's college basketball. So let's talk some NFL, bring it up. Date on the latest in the NFL and the last week that we played in, which is week 12. Yeah, so the last week was week 12. And then I'll give you the start of week, because, you know, the holiday season brings the start of week 13. So week 12 in the NFL season. So start with the Bears. Last week was week 11, excuse me. We're now on week 12. Last week in the NFL was week 11, we're now on week 12. So, week 11, the Packers fall to the Seahawks 24-27. The Colts beat the Titans 38-10. The Steelers beat the Jaguars 20-16. And this is the latest team that Jalen Ramsey talked shit about the quarterbacks not being good and they lost, but the difference in this game, Jalen Ramsey actually balled out and had two picks, but Ben Roethlisberger balled out too. So the Buccaneers lost to the Giants 38-35. The Panthers lost to the Lions 19-20. The Cowboys, who are going to the Super Bowl, beat the Falcons 22-19. The Texans beat the Redskins 23-21. The Ravens beat the Bengals 24-21. The Raiders beat the Cardinals. Who would have known? 23-21. The Broncos beat the Chargers 23-22. Bears beat the Vikings 25-20. The Eagles hammered got hammered by the Saints 48-7. And the Rams in a Monday night shootout against the Chiefs, won 54-51. And I thought nobody was ever going to play defense in that game. But the Rams came away with some key turnovers in that game. So did the Chiefs, but the Rams had more significant turnovers in that game to bring them out with the victory. And let's look at the stats in that game. We got to look at the stats in that game because the stats in that game were ridiculous, man. Like, I think Pat Mahomes threw for 5 touchdowns or something, 6 touchdowns. So Mahomes went 33 for 46, 478 yards, 6 touchdowns, 3 picks. Kareem Hunt had 14 carries, 70 yards, no touchdowns. Tyreek Hill had 10 catches, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce had 10 catches, 127 yards, 1 touchdown. Chris Conley had 7 catches, 74 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Kareem Hunt had 3 catches, 41 yards, 1 touchdown. So, the Rams, Jared Goff, went 31 for 49, 413 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Todd Gurley had 12 carries, 55 yards. Jared Goff had a rushing touchdown. Brandon Cooks had 8 receptions, 170 yards. Josh Reynolds had 6 receptions, 80 yards and a touchdown. Robert Woods had 4 catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. Gerald Everett had 3 catches, 49 yards and 2 touchdowns. Very, very, very high scoring game. Not that good a defense being played. So, holiday weekend brought about the start of week 12. So, yesterday we had 3 games. We had the Bears and the Lions, Cowboys, Redskins, Falcons, and Saints. So, the Bears topped the Lions 23-16. The Redskins lost to the Cowboys 31-23, which made the Cowboys tie the Redskins at 6-5, but puts us at top of the division of the NFC East and ensuring that we will win the Super Bowl. And the Saints came out there and dropped their nuts on the Falcons, 31-17. And Drew Brees looked good, and that's just how it is, man. But all in all, that set up the matchup for next Thursday with the Cowboys versus the Saints, which is going to be a good one, and we need that victory. So that's what's happening. All right, so Hall of Fame. You know, we got to start talking about NFL Hall of Fame 2019, the Hall of Fame classes and all that stuff. They're getting ready for all that, right? That's the season about over with. So, as they start to narrow things down, they down to their semifinalists. And the semifinalists are headlined by Ed Reed, who's the greatest safety of all time, and Tony Gonzalez, who's the second greatest tight end of all time behind Shannon Sharp. The Pro Football Hall of Fame started with 103 candidates for the class of 2019. And that list has officially been trimmed down to 25 semifinalists. The Hall of Fame announced the list of semifinalists on Tuesday, and it's loaded with players who are eligible for the first time, including cornerback Champ Bailey, tight end Tony Gonzalez, and safety Ed Reed. It also includes 2 other first-time semifinalists who have previously been nominated but not have survived the internal. The initial cut, former NFL coach Tom Flores and former Dolphins linebacker Zach Thomas. And don't be tripping on Zach Thomas. On the opposite end of the spectrum, Steve Atwater and John Lynch will be hoping to get in after years of coming close. Atwater had been a semifinalist 8 times, while Lynch had been named a semifinalist 7 times. Of course, no one on the list has been kept out longer than offensive mastermind Don Kroyer, who was nominated for a semifinalist for 11th time. The announcement of Hall of Fame semifinalists is the second step in the process to select the next inductees into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. On January 3rd, the Hall of Fame selection committee will be asked to trim the semifinalists list down to 15 finalists. There will also be 2 contributor finalists, Pat Bowlen and Gil Brandt, along with 1 finalist from the seniors committee, Johnny Robinson, which will bring the total number of finalists to 18. From that total, voting rules from the Hall of Fame stipulate that at least 4 people get inducted each year with a maximum of 8. To be inducted, the finalists receive at least 80% support from the 48-person selection committee. The 2018 Pro Football Hall of Fame class will be announced during the CBS television special that will air on February 2nd from Atlanta, 1 day before the Super Bowl. Here's the complete list of semifinalists. So we got Steve Atwater, Champ Bailey, Rondé Barber, Tony Boselli, he would get in for me, Isaac Bruce, Leroy Butler, Don Kroyer, Alan Faneca, Tom Flores, Tony Gonzalez, Torrey Holt, Steve Hutchinson, Edgerrin James, Jimmy Johnson, Ty Law, John Lynch, Clay Matthews, Kevin Mawai, Carl Meckelberg, Sam Mills, Ed Reed, Richard Seymour, Zach Thomas, Hines Ward, and Dan Woodson. Damn. Man, just put all of them in. Like, who? Because these some good names. Just put all of them in. So, you know, I want to give a round of applause to all of the semifinalists for the Coach Ball Hall of Fame. It's time for our weekly rant, which actually is specifically the Friday rant. And this is a lady who was complicit in helping Larry Nassar complete or be a complete sexual predator to other ladies. Ladies not looking out for ladies. Ain't this a bitch? I keep telling y'all that the culture of sexual and domestic violence is kept up in America because men and women are participating in helping to continue the fucked up history of sexual domestic violence, because it's some fucked up men and women and it's fucked up American whatever. So our weekly rant, we getting on former Michigan State President Lou Anna Simon, who's been charged with lying to police, making her third person charged by the Michigan Attorney General office in his investigation of the university related to Larry Nassar with her pussy ass. Simon was charged today, and this article was written. Let me find the date. November 21st. So this article was written 2 days ago. Simon was charged on the 21st in Eaton County District Court for 2 felony counts and 2 misdemeanor counts with her pussy ass. Simon talked to Michigan State Police in May. Court documents say she made false or misleading statements that she was not aware of the nature of the complaint that prompted a 2014 Title IX investigation, which the motherfucker was lying. Hey, Big Bertha, y'all got to whoop. What's her name? Mary Lou? What her name? Luana. Fuck her, Luana, old bitch ass. Additionally, when asked about whether she was aware of any investigation involving Larry Nassar prior to 2016, she falsely or misleadingly said, "I was aware that in 2014 there was a sports medicine doc who was subject to review," when in fact she knew it was Larry Nassar who was subject to the 2014 Michigan State University Title IX investigation, according to court records. Simon faces up to 4 years in prison if convicted. An arrangement is set for Monday. Fuck that. Give her ass 44 years and let somebody punch her in her motherfucking face. Simon deferred comment to her attorney, Mayor Morgan Roth, who said in an email statement, "The only crime committed is the indictment. It is political and completely false, and they will pay for it." Shit, your client gonna pay for it. Attorney Lee Civil, who also represents Simon, called the charges completely baseless. Shit, we are confident that when we have our day in court, Dr. Simon will be exonerated and these charges will be proven to have no merit, Civil said in a telephone interview. Simon stepped down as president of Michigan State University on January 24th, hours after Nassar was sentenced in Incan County Circuit Court for 40 to 175 years in prison for being a bitch-ass sexual abuser. Michigan State Interim President John Engler said in a statement that the university is aware the charges brought today against former President Simon, that Simon is taking an immediate leave of absence without pay to focus on her legal situation. If she fucked up, Hey, Michigan State will pay for Simon's legal fees. What? That's what a spokesperson said. The university is paying for the former gymnastics coach Katie Clagan's attorney and for part of the criminal charges for former Dean William Stratton. Why? Why? A member of Reclaim MSU, a group of students, faculty, staff, and alumni pushing for charges at MSU in the wake of Nassau called the charges a good thing. I think it's the first step in the long process of holding people in the institution accountable for what happened here, said Natalie Rogers, an organizer with the group. John Manley, an attorney who represents many of the victims who sued Michigan State, related to Nassau, said the charges stand in contrast to law enforcement actions against USA Gymnastics. I'm so grateful to the Attorney General's office, he said. This sends a message to the people of Michigan and, quite frankly, to the people of the United States that no one is above the law. David Mittleman, who also represents women and girls who sued over Nassau's abuse, said, based on his undergoing of how Simon managed the day-to-day operations of the university, he was surprised when he heard her say she didn't know which doctor was under the investigation. MSU trustees Joel Ferguson, Brian Musselman, and Mitch Lloyd Lyons declined to comment Tuesday. Other board members did not immediately respond to message. So, but yeah, man, that's what's going on. So lock her ass up, especially if you got all the evidence to prove that she was lying and she was helping to cover that shit up. Man, lock her up. We ain't got no time for anybody. I don't care if you male or female. If you are complicit in helping a sexual predator like Larry Nassar rape young ladies or sexually assault them, rather, allegedly sexually assault them, or what he's been convicted of sexually assaulting. Hey, man, if you got somebody who was helping him, they got to go down, especially if they lying to keep old boy on his post and all that stuff. That man, let them go, lock her ass up. Don't nobody care about Luana like that, because Luana should have thought better about what she was doing when you was helping Larry Nassar and these other folk get away with being sexual predators. Come on, man. Come on, man. Got to do better than that. This is America, right? This is America, but this is the America we live in where sexual predation is being supported, condoned by people. Come on, man. Y'all grown people. Luana, fuck Luana, man. Take her ass down, man. Especially if you find all the evidence that Luana was really doing everything that y'all charge her for, lock her ass up. Lock her ass up. Give her some prunes, sew her booty hole together. Sew her booty hole together and give her a whole bunch of prune juice and laxatives. And watch what happens. See what happens. Sew her booty hole shut. Sew it shut good and give her a whole bunch of prune juice and laxatives and see what happens. Give us a lot of them detox teas and stuff like that and see what happens. See how long it takes for the booty hole to be ripped open by all that stuff coming out. Come in, why not? Hell, why not? Look at what she's doing. Being complicit in helping someone be a sexual predator, for real? And you're a lady? You're a woman. You're of the female species. And you're helping another person of the female species be dominated. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you old motherfucker. You old bitch, you. Luana. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I hope when you in there, they beat your motherfucking ass, Luana. You got to be ashamed of yourself. It's, hey, man, as we grow and we get dig deeper to these sexual assault cases and all these other cases that we've been covering, we've been talking about, we're finding that men and women are involved in these. Men and women. So if we want to stop violence against women, we need to check men and women. I say let's stop violence completely across the board, but I do understand the emphasis and the focus on violence against women because violence against women is more common. But guess what? To stop violence against women, we need to educate women. We need to be looking at women too, not just men, but men and women. I keep saying it because look at Lou Anna. Oh, Larry Nassar is cool. He's a cool guy. He's okay. Even though on the back end, she know he up there molesting folk. Keep your motherfucking hands to yourself. If anybody invite you to touch them, keep your goddamn hands to yourself. Man, we were talking about this lad in the star case all year long because layers and layers and layers keep becoming unfolded because these nasty, stupid, soft, unethical, inhumane, hot dog water smelling, playing in the booty hole smelling like Bam Bam Bigelow body face ass bitches out here helping each other be sexual predators. You sick, twisted, chicken bone sucking motherfuckers. Wow. What a culture to have. What a culture to represent, right? What a culture to represent, people. Collegiate sports. Professional sports, the sports realm. What a culture to represent. What a way to go to represent the culture of sexual and domestic violence. What a way to go. These adults are fucking up again. They should get awards for the worst motherfuckers ever. Keep finding more stories over and over and over of adults fucking up like this in this type of manner. Wow. Lou, Anna. You ought to be ashamed of yourself with them ugly-ass glasses you be wearing. Because they got a picture of Luana, and Luana is feral. She is not cute at all. Probably why, I don't know. I was going to say something real mean about her ass. Fuck you, Luana. Because I'm pulling up a picture of her right now. And Luana, ooh, she feral. She is not cute at all. At all. She looks like hell. And I bet she feels like hell because she's a fucked up person. Fucked up people. What's going on in America that they keep breeding these type of people, man? Why? Because this is the way that America was built. Hell, Thanksgiving was just yesterday, right? Thanksgiving was just yesterday. No information come to find out. Now, hell, at the first so-called first Thanksgiving or whatever, they were eating human flesh. Eating goddamn human flesh at that first Thanksgiving. Because we know that Thanksgiving marked the beginning of the end for the indigenous populations here in America. So, you know, Thanksgiving right here happened yesterday, so we already know how America was founded and built. You celebrate Columbus Day. Right? Thanksgiving, man. Fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here. Right? Because we all know that that meant the beginning of the end of the Native Americans. But it also meant the beginning of this fucked up culture that we have in America, which breeds sexual and domestic violence, serial killers, rapes, all these different things that go on in America that people can say, I can't believe this happens here in America. Why? Look at the cultural foundation of America. Look how America became America. America became America because of rape, pillaging, murder, and all these crazy things that you people seem to overlook. But here it is. Here it is. Here it is right in your face. Here it is. And don't be the people who, hey, man, I don't fight injustices because it ain't happened to me yet. But when it happened to you, now you want other people to fight for you? Nope. We take a stand now. So all of you people who are these sexual and domestic predators and stuff, calling you out. So Luana, your ugly ass ain't exempt. I hope they beat your ass in there, Luana. Fuck you and everything you stand on. Them ugly ass glasses, that ugly ass haircut you got, that ugly ass face you got, them ugly ass clothes you got, that ugly ass turtleneck you wearing, that ugly ass. I mean, you look like hell, Luana, and I hope they make you feel like hell in prison with your ugly ass. Everything that you got going on with you, fuck you, and everything you stand for, and everybody else who was helping Larry Nassar push the ass, be a sexual predator, fuck all y'all and everything that y'all stand for, fuck y'all. That's not what we need. We don't need to be propelling or protecting or anything with those people who we know, the known sexual predators. They are known sexual predators. Fuck them and everything that they stand for and everything that they stand on and every thought that they had, and I know all their breath smell like asshole. Fuck them. That's my weekly rant, or my Friday rant, rather. I keep saying weekly because I'm so used to saying that. That's my Friday rant, directed at Lou Anna Simon, former president of Michigan State University, who will be sentenced, or she's being charged for her role in the Larry Nassar case, lying to people and trying to help Larry Nassar continue to be a sexual predator. Lou Anna, fuck you, charged with lying to the police. Lou Anna, fuck you, you charged with lying to the police. It's your pussy ass. Soft ass Luann. Bye. Bye, Luann. Bye. 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 We don't want to hear from you no more. We don't want to see you no more. Everything that you said from now on is straight bullshit. Bye, Luann. Fuck you. Fuck everything about you. Hey, man. Thank y'all for tuning in on this fantastic Friday. Hope y'all ate good and we're moving forward. And you know how we do what we do when we do what we do. This is Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com.
I am the greatest.
I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless.